clean bill.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. There's likely to be a vote today in the U.S. House on legislation that would steer a lot of money, $500 million or more a year, toward green automobile technology. It would be a big boost for an industry that's been hurting a lot. That's on the heels of the Obama administration yesterday releasing plans to raise gas mileage standards to 35.5 miles per gallon within 7 years. And clean energy investors are hoping for more assists like that from Washington. In New York today, there's a meeting to try to drum up private investment to spur cleaner technologies. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports.
Advocates of alternatives to fossil fuel say they're not getting Wall Street's attention. Philip Verlager, an economist at the University of Calgary, says that's because traditional fuels are still cheaper. Take solar power, for example.
It is just not economically competitive with the more traditional means of generating electricity by either natural gas, which right now is very inexpensive, or coal.
But Mindy Luber, the president of Ceres, a group of pro-environment investors, says government policy favors dirty energy.
We have had tax incentives for traditional fuels like coal, like natural gas, like nuclear power, but not for the renewable energy systems or energy efficiency.
Luber says government limits on carbon pollution, as proposed in legislation moving through Congress, would trigger investments in clean technology. For example, she says Europe's carbon cap has sparked new money for wind, solar, and geothermal power. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Let's check numbers. European shares are higher right now, and Asia stocks rose across the board, except for the Chinese benchmark. On Wall Street yesterday, the S&P added about 0.33%, and the Dow and NASDAQ tacked on about 0.5% each. Blockbuster could shut down nearly 1,000 stores by the end of next year. The video rental chain is struggling to fend off rivals such as Netflix and Redbox. The world's largest social networking site has a big status update. It's making money. Facebook's announced it's now earning enough to cover costs. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
You'd think, given how many of us use social networking sites, it would be a profitable business. But free sites like Facebook and Twitter have struggled to turn our, let's face it, addiction into cash. In a blog post yesterday, Facebook chief executive Mark Zuckerberg said the company is now cash flow positive. That means it's bringing in enough revenue to cover its costs. It's not the same thing as turning a profit, but analysts say it's a good sign that the business model might work. They say Facebook could be on track to go public in the next few years. The company also announced it now has more than 300 million active users. That's triple its reach a year ago. All those eyeballs are attracting advertisers to the site. But some are still skeptical the business model can work. After Rupert Murdoch spent more than $500 million on rival MySpace 4 years ago, the site has struggled to stay afloat. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys, constantcontact.com. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
Today, we're expecting to get a long-awaited Senate version of the health care reform bill. Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus is set to unveil an $880 billion proposal that so far doesn't have any Republican backing. Now, while the health care debate is very partisan, there seems to be consensus that something needs to be done to address it. This week, we're looking at some of the biggest stakeholders in the healthcare overhaul. It's part of the series The Cure, our continuing coverage on the remaking of healthcare in America. Today, we check in with doctors, and Jill Barchet reports.
Neil Kalman practices family medicine in New York. For 32 years, he's been seeing patients for checkups, flus, colds, and a lot of diabetes. Like other primary care doctors, he gets paid per office visit.
So imagine that you're basically getting paid, you know, $20 an hour, which is less than what we pay our nurses.
Dr. Kalman wants to be paid more, and the health care bills in Washington would boost fees for primary care doctors by a small amount. But what Dr. Kalman really wants is for the government to step in and use its purse to promote preventive care for patients.
And really helping them lead healthier lifestyles so that they can prevent the kind of illnesses that really are preventable.
But if primary care costs go up, the money is going to have to come from somewhere. And specialists like Dr. Robert Vogelzang are worried they'll be targeted for cuts. Dr. Vogelzang is an interventional radiologist. He works with catheters and CAT scans to treat diseases that might otherwise require open surgery.
We're the people who invented angioplasty and stenting.
Unlike Dr. Kalman, Dr. Vogelzang can earn $1,200 for a procedure that lasts an hour and a half. His big concern is that if the government gets involved in the healthcare system, medical procedures will be judged by what they cost.
And what would happen is if you defined effectiveness in a narrow, cost-constrained manner, we may not pass that metric.
Vogelzang worries that Washington might drive private insurers to cut back coverage for his innovative procedures, and his specialty, along with his income, will decline. Paul Ginsberg is a health economist.
There's always been an issue with physicians and healthcare reform because healthcare reform has the upside for them that more of their patients will be able to pay their bill because they'll have health insurance. But they've often been concerned about the government control over the delivery of healthcare that might come with it.
Ginsberg says doctors are likely to remain divided as the healthcare debate continues. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
Finally, guys wanting to be on the cutting edge of fashion will be wearing tweed shorts and lipstick. Designers are showing off their menswear collections at New York's Fashion Week. The Ducky Brown label featured tweed shorts and sheer printed shirts. Another designer had his models wearing wide prison-like stripes. Tom Brown models sported various shades of lipstick. Brown calls it war paint. War, apparently, if he's sharing with his girlfriend. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.